Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 7, and it picks up right in the middle of the action. So just to give you some background, what happened right before today's story is that Jesus healed the son of a powerful soldier. And this is what happens next. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As Jesus approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then Jesus came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about Jesus spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, before we go any farther, we want to say a special thank you to this morning to Sandy Tremblay, our pianist, who is filling in for Darlene while Darlene is on vacation. It is not an easy thing to walk into a church like us and play for us, but we are so grateful. So, Sandy, thank you for being here this morning. Well, we are in the middle of a sermon series we're calling Do-Over, a sermon series where we are looking at stories in the Bible where people are given a fresh start, or where people are offered a new beginning, because, of course, the Bible is filled with story after story after story of second chances. And so if you were with us last week, you'll remember we talked about a story of Jesus healing a leper, someone who had been an outcast from society, and someone for whom Jesus gave new purpose. He reinvigorated his life. He gave him a life worth living. And our scripture passage this morning continues right after that story took place. As Sarah just read, it comes when Jesus enters a little town called Nain, and there in the middle of the town, Jesus encounters a funeral procession. We're going to look at this story, we're going to talk about it, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Melt us and mold us, make us and use us, have thine own way. Amen. Well, on the second Tuesday of September, all the way back in 2001, a Hollywood actor and producer by the name of Seth MacFarlane was rushing to Boston's Logan International Airport to catch an early morning flight back home. Now, traffic that morning on I-90 was bumper to bumper. No one was going anywhere quickly. MacFarlane said he had planned to arrive at the airport early so he wouldn't be rushed on his way back to L.A. that morning, but of course, well, he was out late the night before drinking with some friends and he overslept. His alarm went off. He rushed as fast as he could to the airport. When he finally made it to the terminal, he ran through the terminal trying to make it to his gate. Only when he arrived at his gate, he realized he was 10 minutes too late. 10 minutes. The door had already been closed. The plane had already pulled back from the jet bridge. And he watched helplessly as his flight, the flight he was supposed to be on, American Airlines Flight 11 from Boston to L.A., left without him. An hour later, he said he was in the hotel bar watching TV. And there, when he looked up, he saw the first tower fall, and all of a sudden, he realized what had just happened. He realized that was the plane he was supposed to be on. Now, years later, Many years after that, during an interview on NPR, Seth MacFarlane was asked to reflect on his 9/11 experience. He was asked what it was like to miss a plane that never made its destination. After all, if Seth hadn't overslept, he would have been in his seat. If he hadn't overslept, he would have been, well, dead at the age of 29. But somehow he was, he was saved. And Terry Gross, the interviewer on NPR, asked MacFarlane the inevitable question. He said this. He said, "Now, after your narrow escape, do you think of the rest of your life as some kind of gift?" MacFarlane paused as if to consider his response. "No," he said. "No, I don't." Said to Terry Gross, "You know, that experience, it didn't change me at all. It made no difference in the way I live my life. I don't look at life any differently than I did before. It was just a coincidence." Now imagine that. This man was given a new lease on life. This man's life should have been over before it even began. He lived when so many other people perished. And yet he went back to living the exact same life he had before. Nothing was different. I don't know, you imagine that kind of experience, it would have to change a person, right? To be that close to death, it would have to transform you. Wouldn't it? You see, Luke tells us that one day Jesus was traveling through the region of the Galilee when a crowd approached him carrying the stretcher of a young man who had died at far too early an age. This was a man who had everything to live for. This was a man who had his entire life before him, and yet his life had ended before it truly began. And Jesus saw the crowd, and he saw the boy's mother, and he was filled with compassion, the scripture says. And Jesus reached out, and he touched the man and said, "Young man, rise." And the dead man came to life again. He was given a second chance at life. Now, here's my question for you this morning. How do you think that experience of dying and coming back affected that young man? What's it like to have one foot in the grave and then to step out on solid land again? Do you think food tastes any better after you've been dead? Do you think water feels any more refreshing after you've seen eternity? Do you think you take time to kiss your wife just a little bit longer? Do you say "I love you" to your children just a few more times because you know how fragile life can be? What's it like to be given a second chance at your first life? You know, as far as I can tell, Jesus did not radically transform this life of this man from what it had been before he had died. I mean, it's not as if Jesus had gone and deposited $1 million in his bank account and said, "Have at it." It's not as if Jesus had erased the man's problems. In a certain way, the man's life was exactly the same after he rose again as it had been when he died. I have to imagine, if the man happened to have an annoying neighbor before he died, well, I assume that annoying neighbor was still there when he rose again. I imagine if the young man was unemployed and looking for a job before he died, well, when he rose again, he was still unemployed and looking for a job. In a way, nothing had changed for the man, and yet, in a way, everything was different. Suddenly, this man realized how precious life was. Suddenly he realized how blessed he was, and maybe that is where our lives truly begin. Maybe our lives truly begin that very moment, that moment when we finally view life for what it is. You see, life is a gift. It's not something we've earned. It's not something we've worked for. It's not something we have chosen. It's something that was bestowed upon us freely by the overflow of God's goodness and God's grace. Life, well, it's precious. Legend has it, the great physicist Albert Einstein once said there are two types of people. Those for whom nothing in life is a miracle, and those for whom everything in life is a miracle. Don't you realize your life is a miracle. You are a miracle. Just look at how blessed you are. Look back at your life. Look at how many times God has bestowed upon you his goodness and grace. Look at how many times God has surrounded you by so many people that love you and care for you. Look at how many opportunities God has given you to make a difference in this world and to live a life of purpose. Look at how many people have sacrificed so that you could be here today. You are a miracle. You realize that, right? Gratitude. Gratitude, it's giving thanks to God for the life you have, not the life you think you want, not the life you believe you're entitled to. Gratitude, it's giving thanks to God for the life you have right now, exactly as it is, because your life is precious. Your life is a gift from God, and I know it's not always easy. And I know that there can be struggles and sickness and pain, but I know there's also goodness in your life. And I know that there is also beauty in your life. And I know that God is there for you in those moments of your trial. And so maybe that's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is all around you. It's because we don't have to wait for some happily ever after to experience God's kingdom. God's kingdom is right here. God's kingdom is within our very grasp. God's kingdom is right in front of you, Jesus says. You just have to open your eyes to it and recognize the miracle that is this life. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul said, I give thanks in all circumstance. Not some circumstance or not in the good circumstance. Paul says, I give thanks in every circumstance. And maybe it's because Paul recognized he could never repay God for the goodness God had already shown him. Young man, Jesus said, young man, rise. And the man was given a second chance at his first life. That kind of experience, it has to change a person. Right? See, on September 10th, 2001, an American Airlines pilot by the name of Steve Schreibner put in a request to work the next day when he volunteered to fly American Airlines Flight 11 from Boston to L.A. Schreibner, you see, was a former Navy pilot. He had worked on and off for American for many years. And when he put in his request to work, he saw that it was accepted, and he was scheduled to fly the next day. He went inside. He started packing his bags. He told his wife, Megan, that he was going to be gone for a couple days. She ironed his dress shirt, and he set out to leave. Schreibner was going to his car. He put his suitcase in the trunk. He decided to check his itinerary one final time before leaving for the airport, and that's when he saw it. He saw that his plans had been changed. You see, the story goes, Tom McGinnis, a more senior pilot at American, had also put in a request to fly that day. He had put in the request after Steve had, but of course, as the more senior pilot, he was given the job, and he bumped Steve from the position. Steve saw what had happened. He went back inside and went about his day. Now, years later, Steve Schreibner was asked what it was like to not fly a plane, to be scheduled to fly a plane that, well, never made its destination. What was it like to live through that moment on 9/11? And he paused before he said this. He said, you know, I'm not supposed to be here today. I'm living on borrowed time because someone died in my place. There's a sense of obligation, he said, that comes with that kind of knowledge. There's a sense of duty that you have when you know that. He said, you need to live a life of purpose at that point. You need to live a life of meaning because the reason I'm here is not because I'm better than anyone else. It's not because I deserve it more. No, he said, the reason I'm here is because someone else sat in my seat. Someone laid down their life for me. Young man, Jesus said, young man, rise. And the man was given a second chance at his first life. Yes, you're a miracle. Your life is a miracle, and I hope that you never forget it. You are here today because of the overflow of God's goodness and God's grace. Someone died so that you can live. Christ laid down his life so that you could have life and have it in abundance. It's his sacrifice that has let you come here today, and because he lives, you can face tomorrow. And because he lives, all fear is gone. And life is worth the living because he lives. So may your heart always be filled with gratitude. And may your days always be filled with purpose. And may you see the kingdom of God everywhere you go. And may you give thanks to God in all circumstances for the life you have, because your life is precious. It's a miracle. Your life is a gift, and may you never forget it. All the days of your life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Indeed, O God, we thank you for the goodness of your creation. Thank you, God, that you created all that is, all that was, all that will ever be. And we pray that we would always have eyes to see your presence in our midst, your kingdom right here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, God, that we would live our days with a sense of thankfulness, knowing indeed that you are here, and that in the end, your love continues to conquer all. So God, help us to live with such gratitude, and help us to transform our lives. For we offer this prayer in the name of the one who died in our place, the one who rose for us, and the one who lives with you now and forever, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.